Hello, everyone, and welcome back to It's Funny You Ask. This podcast was inspired by Paul Harvey and Dorothy Gale, people that have taught me that revealing that proverbial man behind the curtain creates a much bigger impact than taking anyone at face value. My name is Kendra Aris, and I will be your host, and I am here to discover the rest of the story. Can you believe it, friends? We are at episode 71 of It's Funny You Ask, and this is my regularly scheduled, easy for me to say, feature on this podcast with Tina Wing, Fat Friday, from the last Friday in April 2021. And here we are plowing into May. Fat Friday is a fun thing that I do with my friend Tina. We talk about health and weight loss and, life as an adult woman trying to get it together for the 40th year-ish year in a row. Anyway, thank you, Tina, for being on today. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast. As always, Tina brings a lot of laughs and perspective that I think we all very much appreciate. But let's get on with it.
It's okay. You can tell
me. I don't want anybody to think I compliment you.
You're going to die when I tell you about my hair. I haven't touched it. I styled it yesterday for my job that I had that I'm about to tell you about. And I then was very tired. I was up until like midnight. I was working till like midnight, and then I was just up for hours after that because I had so much fun. Okay, so I had a hair and makeup gig for our friend Elizabeth, who was doing like a concert at this coffee shop, like a music event.
Yeah, at her new coffee shop?
Yes, at her place that she's managing or whatever she's doing there. I'm not sure.
She's partner now.
Yeah. I mean, she's told me this, but I don't keep the details of anything straight, which is why it's hilarious that I worked as a server at the event last night.
Pardon me? You what?
I know.
That's funny. So you were doing a friend a favor is what you were doing.
Well, they did need some help, but I was like kind of excited about the idea of doing it. And I don't know. I bartended at like Ernie's once a long time ago. Back in high school, I think I worked as a server at a Chinese restaurant, and it was terrible because everybody was actually Chinese. And that worked there, and very few of them spoke English. And so like, I don't know if I did my job right there or not. I mean, they really didn't pay me anything. I think I made $2 an hour.
Well, then you didn't do your job well.
And eventually I got fired, but I didn't know I got fired until the next day when I went to work. And they were like, you don't work here anymore. And I was like, what? They're like, we fired you last night when you left. And I was like, oh, you did?
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Communication was bad. So I did. I mean, it's a small venue. They had plenty of servers. It was like the menu. There's only like five things on the menu. There was only like five or six drinks to choose from. I had a checklist.
That cracks me up.
It was fun. I would do it again for an event. I have a whole huge appreciation for more
servers.
I mean, I always have for what servers do, but even more. I mean, it was a lot of work. It was a lot.
Yeah. So yeah, anyway, I don't want the job. I don't want that job.
No
thanks. Although I'm trying to get my son to do it because they make bank on tips.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Yeah.
Last night we only hit two tables. Oops.
Yeah.
But yeah, my feet hurt this morning before I even got on them. I was like,
I bet.
So that sucked. Anyway, so it's been a while since we've been on because your ass went on vacation.
I did.
How was it?
Wonderful. It was very, very good. First time in Boise, Idaho.
It's an underrated state, isn't it? It's beautiful there.
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous. And so I was in Boise, and Boise is nice because it's, you know, people know of Boise. It's like a big city, but it's not. Like when you go, it's like Cedar Rapids city-ish. It's not overwhelming city. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like some cities are just overwhelming.
Yeah.
No, it's great. And we took a drive 2 hours north to McCall. So there's this big lake in the mountains, like you go through the mountains or whatever, and then you get up there and there's this big lake and there's all these cabins, and we stayed in one there. We spent way too much money on a cabin. Everybody's like, the guy that rented it to us, he's like, are you really, I said, really only two people? Cause it sleeps like 10.
you're like, no, we want time.
Yeah, exactly. People. It has a hot tub and we don't want children. I mean, I love my children and her children, but yeah, no, it was great. We ate really expensive food and we sat in a hot tub and it was fantastic. We almost bought the Dong Pairing Yong. And the Dong Pairing Yong was $230. And we were like, we could split that and just have the experience. And then we're like, I don't think our palates are sophisticated enough to enjoy this the way
that's what I was going to say. Would you even know the difference between the $230 Dom Perignon and the $40 Prosecco?
So we got the $27 Pink Moscato. Bring us that, please. What? You came out because it's
funny. Ended up with the Kool-Aid of like the generic Kool-Aid of wine.
I know. And then we went to a winery later on our trip. And I'm like, you got any Moscato?
And they're like, no.
Actually, they did.
Did they? Because people like you keep coming.
Exactly. I know. I have tried to be a wine connoisseur. I know about the legs. I know how to sniff it. I know the rim needs to be thin. I know all of that. But give me my Moscato and I'm a happy girl.
So, I got you. Yeah. I got you. That is so funny. You're like super, well, I don't know if you were super anxious, but you talked to us about the seatbelt thing. Did it go okay? Was it fine?
No, it did not go okay.
Oh.
Well, okay. That's not altogether true. So here's what's happening in my world.
Not familiar what we're talking about seatbelt extenders on airplanes. We talked about that in the previous episode.
Yes. I have a fear of flying, but only of seatbelt extenders. And people next to me coughing or sneezing or whatever.
Yeah.
So I have
first class, I thought.
I did. Okay. Yep. So pardon me. Hold on. Coffee's making me burp. Here we go again. It's so good for recording it. I'm so glad we're recording that. Anyway, okay. So I have been doing, so give a little background. I have been doing some really good, kind of intense therapy. Okay. Therapy stuff. So had I not been doing that, I probably would have been a ball of just a mess because I sprung for the first class. Now, first class in United between here and Chicago to Boise is not exactly the first class we dream of, okay? You get a bigger, comfier seat and a free Coke, okay? I didn't get any hot towels. There were no massages of my feet. It was just a bigger seat. I've never been
in that first class.
Yeah. So anyway, I still needed a seatbelt extender in every single flight. Every single flight. I had 4 flights total for the whole trip. Needed one in every single one. Sucked. You want to know what happens on a seatbelt or on a first class trip though? I got to tell this story. First class trip, I am a mess. When I fly, I'm probably the most awkward person in the whole wide world, right? I'm shuffling, trying to get down the aisle. I'm like, oh, excuse me. I got to put my bag up there, and it's usually a pain in the butt. I've got too many things with me I shouldn't have. So I'm bumbling all through this. I sit down. We're going through the flight a while. The man next to me is trying to help me figure out how to put my seat back and how to put my tray table up. And I'm a mess when I fly. I don't know what it is. It's like all my brain cells go out my ears.
I love it so much, but I'm loving that you're telling me this, because I can imagine we'll have an opportunity to fly together at some point, and I would be avoiding that.
I'm just a bumbling mess. So it might be the altitude. I don't know what it is. Anyway, so I spilled.
You're on the ground when you get in the plane, Tina Wing.
I don't know. Oh, good point. See? I think about flying and my brain cells start going out my ears. So, and I'm not afraid to fly. Like, I love flying, but I'm afraid of everything else about flying. But this gentleman next to me, super nice and gracious man. So there's this little space between us, and I'm like, can I put my my drink here? I had a ginger ale. Not that you need to know that, but I wanted to put my tray table back and just use that little table. He was fine. He said, yes. Well, I start falling asleep and bump my drink and spill it all over his leg. Sure did. And then later on, I had dropped something in the aisle. Oh, my sweater had fallen into the aisle. So the stewardess comes through, or flight attendant. I don't think you call them stewardess anymore. Flight attendant comes through, and she picks up my sweater and she says, is this yours? Sure is. Yep. And I'm like, I'm a mess. I just spilled pop on this guy. I just said that to them, right? Like two drops on him, right? Okay. It wasn't all over his lap or anything. So then later on, a flight attendant, a man, comes in and he asks the guy what his name is. And he's standing in the aisle and he's like trying to distinguish between the guy in front of us and the guy behind us and make sure he's got the right name. And we were all like, is there something wrong? Like, what's going on? So a little while later, then she comes back and tells him that they're giving him a $50 credit on his United miles because I spilled pop on him. So if we fly together and you'd like some extra miles, I'm happy to spill pop on you, but we'd have to be in first class.
That is weird.
So the reason that the reason that I tell you about the therapy is that even though I had to do the seatbelt extenders, I wasn't completely embarrassed about it. I was like, you know what? I could probably buckle this thing, but I'm going to be uncomfortable the whole trip. So screw it. I'm going to get the extender. So I did. Good. Sucked, but I did.
Yeah. I don't suppose. So something interesting I decided to do with this. So I've been doing 75 hard. I think we did day 25. It's hard.
It's supposed to be, right?
Yeah, it doesn't ever
get. It's in the name, Kendra.
Yeah, yeah. It hasn't gotten easier yet. And it's still the second workout that I really hate making time for. I could make time for a 4-hour workout if I had to, but making time for 2 45-minute workouts and an annoying space between them, like, I am such a baby about figuring that out. It's really not that hard to figure out if I would follow through with it, but I'm just kind of a baby about it. Anyway, so my hard drive crashed last week, which was real bad when it happened, but it turned out it's not as bad. Most of the files that I needed are recovered and it's going to be fine. Just took me a while to like get through that recovery process. Great. But that was incredibly stressful. But during that, kind of as that was all happening, I got prompted to go through my apps that I like have on my phone that I'm paying for. And I canceled like a ton of subscriptions.
I'm going to say, because you're bleeding money like I am on stupid stuff you don't need to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then of course, since I freed up a bunch of money, I was like, well, what should I spend that on?
Did you find something good?
Well, okay. So I decided to try Noom. Have you seen the advertisements for Noom? Yeah. Okay.
I have.
I decided to try that. And I'm only like maybe a week into it at this point. And it is not, but I will say it is very good psychology. They definitely employ the psychology piece of like understanding nutrition and exercise. And they put food into different categories. So instead of like this much protein and fat, they put them into categories of how nutrient dense they are. And then they just say have more of, so foods are either green, yellow, and red, but no food is bad. Mm-hmm. And more green foods, more yellow foods, more red foods. So the more nutrient dense they are, the more they are in the green category. so that's been, that's, I mean, I like that. They definitely, they teach you different ways to like deal with triggers, and they have you weigh yourself every day. The purpose of that, right? And, but the purpose is, and what they educate on it is that it helps you, one, see that like the scale definitely does this and that's normal. And two, to like get rid of your scale anxiety. So like, if it's just something you do every day, now I know that does not work for everybody and won't work for everybody, but that's okay for me. So that's been fine. A lot of the information right now is a little, what?
I didn't want it. There's been times where I've been dieting where I'll step on that thing four times a day. Cause certainly after I go to the bathroom, it should be less, right?
Correct.
And that's a victory.
They don't want you to do that though.
I don't suggest that to anyone. It's not healthy.
They, so the less, they have like lessons every day that you do, and, they're entertaining. They're easy to read. A lot of it right now is a little elementary for me, as you know, I'm no novice.
Diet. Oh, I know who you are. Yes.
So
yes, you're not Tina on a plane. That's for sure.
And my thing is, I know how to lose weight typically, although apparently now at age 42, my body's like, oh, you only think you know. Shit. Mm-hmm. So that's fun.
Yeah.
But what I don't know how to do is like maintain. That's what I don't know how to do. So I'm wondering how that will work for that. Supposedly that's what they do. They teach you like really good habits for that. So they do teach you to track your food. Their food tracker is really good and easy to use. It's just like my Fitness Pal. So I deleted my Fitness Pal. I haven't deleted that. That's been tracking my weight for probably, I bet close to a decade. I've been using my Fitness Pal.
Really?
I bet since it, yeah. Or since, I should look.
Since they first came out.
I had an iPhone before everybody had an iPhone. Like they made fun of me for having my iPhone. And now I'm like, what?
I had a BlackBerry with the toggle. So
let's see how far back. 2012. My first,
so that is almost a decade.
My first weight was October 23rd, 2012. And I thought I was fat. And now that's my target weight. I'm not joking.
Oh, ain't that true? Oh, I get it.
Oh, I thought I was so fat.
So oh, it's funny that you say that.
Look how skinny I got.
Signed up for Noom. I was trying not to interrupt, but guess what I did?
What?
Signed up for Weight Watchers.
Oh, did you?
I did. I got the Weight Watchers app.
Have you done it before? Have you done Weight Watchers before?
Really?
I never have, because meetings, I was like, no.
Of course I've done Weight Watchers before. I've done everything.
I've done Weight Watchers.
And, you know, you and I have talked about this. Everything works, right? Mm-hmm. But I had to, so what I've done for the last few years, and partially why I haven't gotten back on the weight loss wagon. Oh, the weight loss wagon. That's funny. That could be a title of something. Anyway. Okay.
The logo. Don't
steal it, those of you listening.
I can see the logo.
Yeah.
A caricature of Tina Wing driving a chuck
wagon. My big old booty.
Yes. Yes. With a big bubble butt on the end.
Falling off.
And yeehawing with like a whip and a horse and a.
Does anybody want want to create that.
Somebody make it work.
I want to see it.
Can't you draw that shit?
I could probably draw that shit, yeah. So anyway, yes, I have done Weight Watchers before, but it was all like, it was, again, that was 20 years ago, I bet, or 18 at least, 17, whatever, where it was very different. But what I've searched for in the last few years, and I keep seeing, you know, I have friends that do Atkins, I have friends that do carnivore, well, not Atkins, but the keto, right? Keto, and yeah. Tracking my macros and all of that. And I think tracking macros is smart. But for me, I keep going, I need something that I can do for the rest of my life, right? Because I did Ideal Protein. We know that works. It's amazing. I lost a ton of weight on it. That all came back plus some, right? Because for me,
you didn't learn how to maintain.
Right. For me, that's not sustainable for my life. I am going to want cake. I am going to want, it's not great food. And we learned this, who spoke about, was it Hannah? Hannah, from Back in Line spoke about no food is either inherently good or bad.
Yeah.
It's just like you said with Noom, they teach you what is nutrient for your body, what your body needs, right? Yeah. So if you do a really super low carb diet or keto, you go into ketosis. If you have a cheat meal, it throws you out of ketosis. You have to go back through the whole, like,
starting over.
The ketosis headache. You can get all of this stuff to get back into ketosis, right?
Right.
Which is the really super fast weight loss mode, which is, again, great. But for me, a lot of that was really frustrating. And I'm pretty heavy right now. I don't want to lose weight fast. Because the slower I lose weight, I'm praying that my collagen, if I start taking collagen, my body will not be quite as, I won't have as much loose skin. I know that that's a big issue for people that are bigger and losing weight and they're worried about loose skin. I also saw something recently that talked about that. This girl had been 300 and some odd pounds and lost a bunch of weight. And people ask her about the loose skin all the time. And she's like, you know, it's worth it. It's worth it to feel better, to, you know, she is proud of her body with loose skin and all. And some people, I mean, most people can't afford that surgery to have that removed, you know? So,
right.
So anyway, I'm just thinking slower is better.
Well, for me. Yeah. I mean, I think there's merit to that regardless of, well, there just is merit to that, regardless. And it's not that I don't, like, I feel like it's not that I don't know how to maintain. I just feel like I've never built any decent habits around it. And I always kind of get in this like bulletproof phase where, like, once I've lost weight, I'm like, okay, so now you're normal and you can just eat however you want, whenever you want.
Right. Right.
And I don't think that all that many people can actually do that. I think that
again, that was the appeal for me of Weight Watchers, is that this is how I've been trying to eat forever, right? Like, but I needed something to track it. But I always say, like, I want to be able to just, I love ice cream, right? So I've talked to my husband about this. Why can't we just have ice cream once a week? Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't have to have it all the time, or have ice cream and then, oh, a few hours later, I'm at the convenience store and that candy bar is looking really good. Let's just throw that sucker out in my face.
Okay. I'm going to tell you something else I'm doing. So I'm reading Stephanie Gray's book, Your Longevity Blueprint, which is by and large a guideline and a lot of information about how she runs her practice. She has a holistic medicine practice. Okay. She helps women with hormone issues. She helps with diet. She helps with, I mean, but way beyond that, she's medical.
Has she spoken at our youth conference?
Yes. Yes. She spoke.
I was going to say, I thought so. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I was in that session, but.
So she gave me her book, and I will be honest with you. It's a thick book, and I'm not much of a reader, but I thought.
She needs to audio that.
I will give her a lot of props for so she clearly talks a lot about what she does at her clinic, what she tests for, and what her and she starts at like gut health, and then she goes into some other and other things, but she starts at the, you know, ideas of gut health. And and that's been kind of an issue in our, in my family, not for me, but my husband was on antibiotics for years for acne. And then now he's got diverticulitis and all these issues. And it's like, anyway, learning a lot of stuff about that. So it's partially interesting to me for that reason. And she does talk a lot about her practice and what she does in her practice and how what she does in her practice is different than like your traditional medical practitioners. But she's educating along the way. And I am shocked at how many, so I'm required it with 75 hard to read 10 pages out of a book a day. And the previous, so I finished a whole freaking book, dude, a whole paper book.
Until you've been talking to Erin Sokup, you sounded just like her right there. Yeah, dude, you did.
I just took my camera. I finished the whole book and I was really like, whoa, I don't know that I finished an entire paper book. I don't remember the last time. I listen to a lot of audio if I do listen to a book. And half the time I don't finish those either. I just like get 3/4 of the way through and I'm like, well, I feel like I'm
right. Yeah. I got your point. I'm out of here.
Yeah, you made it. But I'm shocked at how much I read. She's a great writer. It's really easy to digest and understand. I start to like go away in when I'm reading books, when they start to get over my head, or especially mm-hmm. like nutrition and things like that. But so I'm learning a lot and about nutrition, and I'm like, wow, this is great. So far, the thing that has really rocked my world. So I've been deficient in vitamin D for a long time.
Did you know that 90 some percent of Midwesterners are, because we don't get enough sunshine.
Right. And in the winter it gets worse and then it leads to seasonal depression and other things.
Right.
And I've taken magnesium or not magnesium. I've taken calcium. I've been prescribed calcium in different times. And, you know, I'm just like this, and that never really has worked either until the sun comes out. And I'm like, okay, so now I get the vitamin D. One of the things that she educates in this book is that people are low in magnesium, and without magnesium, you don't get the calcium absorption. So you need calcium, you need D, and you need
magnesium. Omeg. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you need all those things together, and then you might have some success. And I was like, so why has a doctor never told me that?
Because that doesn't make them any money.
Well, do you really think the medical practice is really that? Like that they're really not caring about people in that way? I don't believe so. I just believe that they're
uneducated in it. They're learning about the medicines that help you. They're not learning about the CalMag. You know what I mean?
And that's what she talks about, is like the root cause. She's like, a lot of the way traditional medicine works is, you know,
they fix the symptom.
Here's the band-aid for your symptom. And so I was talking to my husband the other day, and trying to figure out, I've just got some things that have been lingering for a while that I would love answers to. And when I talk to my regular doctor about it, she does a blood panel and things come back weird. And then I get a prescription and then I have to deal with the prescription. And I'm like, but right. Why am I,
but why?
And, mm-hmm. and to get them to test the, like to do like a deep hormone dive. And Eric was like, no, you just ask him to do a hormone panel. And I'm like, they won't do it.
But okay, so, and that's the other thing that I've learned. So I love my doctor, but it is different. And I've heard this about Stephanie, is that the hormone tests that your general practitioner does are not as deep and involved as what Stephanie does. Like it's a different thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he was like, no, you just request that you get those tests done. And I'm like, mm-mm.
They don't.
It's not the same.
Not the same. And you have to, you as Joe, normal person, regular person, right? Not in the medical field. You don't know always what to ask for. You know that there's more to it, but you don't know what the test is called. You don't know what you really need to be tested for. Most of us just know that there's something else,
right?
But you don't know how to ask the question.
Right. And now, I mean, I don't know if you remember like the issue I had with my doctor last year, so I haven't been to her since, but she had misdiagnosed me or diagnosed me with severe depression and bipolar disorder.
Oh yeah. She wrote bipolar on your thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been back to her?
No. And which is fine. Like there's nothing wrong with having those things. I actually
wanted
help for
but people. You wanted the right diagnosis.
Right. And I asked her when she was writing it down, she's like, oh, this doesn't mean anything. And then I like got in trouble for lying on insurance applications.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they ran my, they asked me if I had any mental health issues. And I said, no, because I didn't, or I mean, nothing diagnosed.
Yeah.
You
did have a point there, Kendra.
Yeah, I mean, we all have them, right? But right. I was like, how, but
it wasn't a diagnosis.
She told me it wasn't a diagnosis, but that's how it read on my medical record. And now it's like stuck there. And I'm like, I mean, I look like a complete basket case on there. But anyway, so I was really irritated. And when I asked her about it, she just said, well, I didn't know you were going to be applying for insurance.
I don't know that that makes any difference, does it?
Like, do we all go around planning? Well, in 6 months, I'm going to apply for insurance. So don't diagnose me with anything, doc. Like, what? That I don't know. Maybe I just don't understand medicine at all. That's completely freaking possible.
But she did. But the thing about the situation that maybe the listeners aren't don't understand is that she wrote it down, but it wasn't a diagnosis. It was just her going, okay, you have some depression and we're going to send you to somebody else, but I'm going to write this on your
She said it was for the, yeah, you're right. She said it was for the referral. Like she wrote it, she wrote that down so I could get referred to a psychiatrist and then they would have a place to start. Cause she said, I'm not an expert in this. This is not something that I do. I'd prefer you went to.
Right. She said that to you, but that doesn't come through on your medical
records. The insurance company just thought I was lying.
Right.
They were, I mean, I got a letter. And they were like, it's illegal to lie. And I was like,
like, and immoral. And I wouldn't do it. But yeah, it's
I was crazy. So annoyed by that. So no, I haven't been back to her. And then Eric's like, well, and I even canceled my yearly, like just my well baby check, I always call
it. So, okay, so this has triggered a memory of mine. And I have to share this because years ago, I was taking, well, I've taken Lexapro for years, right? And I don't know if I was on Lexapro. It's an anti-anxiety medicine, okay?
Okay.
Which clearly doesn't work in airplanes. but I was on this years ago, and I had been getting migraines. And I had this doctor prescribe me Emitrex. And so I got the Emitrex. Went home. I ended up having a migraine, but I was kind of scared of taking the Emitrex because I've seen my mom. There are some other side effects with Emitrex that scared me. So I didn't want to take it. I just wrote it out, right? So the next time I went into my doctor, she said to me, did you ever take that Emitrex? And I said, no. She said, oh, good. Because the Emitrex and the anti-anxiety that I was taking, like I said, I don't know if it was Lexapro. It might've been something different. She says, those two can be like fatal if combined. She prescribed them both.
And I don't go to the pharmacist didn't pick that up either.
Exactly.
We are being failed.
And that's why I'm saying, like, if I get, I know a lot of, like I said, my current doctor, adore her. And I know I have a couple friends that are doctors. I love them. I know they're doing their job well to the best of their ability. But I have some stuff from my past that I'm like, oh my gosh, like, that's so scary.
Yeah. I sometimes think that we think that doctors and weathermen, we're like, you should do your job right 100% of the time.
Right.
I expect that of no one else.
I don't expect that of weathermen, actually.
I enjoy reading the comment section of the KCRG Channel 9 weather page or whatever. And I am so shocked at like the audacity of people. They were like, you said it was going to be this and it turned out to be that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if you understand that they
Like, it's a prediction and they're watching patterns, but
so funny.
Mother Nature can do what she wants.
Whatever she wants. Like, whatever. I don't know, inter and duratio. Like, if you haven't figured that out and you live in Iowa yet, that like anything can happen. Anyway, yeah. So, but I am learning a lot in her book. And I do, I enjoy sitting down and reading it, and I'm reading far past my required 10 pages.
Well, that's a bonus for any book.
Right, yeah.
Well, especially if it's a educational book. Because I can sit and read some fiction, which I don't anymore because okay, so how do you like Noom? Like, are you using it? Do you feel good? Are you hungry? Do you feel satisfied? Like, what's happening there?
Okay, yeah, I do like it. I mean, the calories and like the food that I'm eating is really no different than when I started this. But I haven't had any processed sugar for 25 days now.
That's awesome. Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm not skinnier yet. I haven't.
It's just rude.
It is rude. I haven't had any alcohol, no processed sugar, no dessert, which was real tough last night. They had this cheesecake. Oh, you just looked at it and you knew, and Eric had some. And then I
That's why you're not losing weight, because you're looking at it. Stop looking. I have that gene. You look at it.
It's right there. I haven't had a single cheat meal. Like, so it's not like I'm not eating carbs or anything, but like I'm not eating fried food. Or I did buy myself an air fryer.
Oh, I love my air fryer. Did I tell you about I love the Ninja, the air fryer, pressure cooker together. What is it called? I got that one. Oh, so great.
I don't trust myself with a pressure cooker, but,
oh, it's wonderful.
I got the Ninja, or not the Ninja. I got the air fryer specifically because I was mad at some Brussels sprouts.
I love Brussels sprouts,
and I bought these frozen Brussels sprouts that are like balsamic vinegar and bacon Brussels sprouts, and like
they sucked.
They were so mushy and disgusting and not crispy at all, and I was like legitimately angry about it.
I believe because, you I would have been angry,
because listen, when you're not eating sugar, you have to look forward to something. And I just really wanted these Brussels sprouts to be delicious. And I like Brussels sprouts, and these were absolutely nasty. And I bitched about it for a week, and then I was going to buy more Brussels sprouts to make them myself. And I was like, no, they're probably just going to turn out mushy and disgusting. And this is just how I'm going to have to eat for the rest of my life. And then
everything sucks.
Mushy vegetables for the rest of my life, because this is how I have to live, because my body sucks and I'm old. I can't take it anymore.
Oh, I have this conversation.
I was so mad. And then I was like, but an air fryer could save everything right now.
Yes.
So I sent my husband to the Sam's Club. So we have an air fryer that's legitimately the size of my ass. It's so
Yeah. And see, it should be an air fryer pressure cooker. I'm telling you, you're missing out, girl.
Well, listen, baby steps for Kendra. But okay. But now I can make Brussels sprouts, and they were so crispy.
Were they good?
Oh, they're so good and crispy. They were like restaurant quality.
What did you put on them?
I just put vinegar and salt and pepper and some garlic. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah, like
I might have to do it. I bought fresh Brussels sprouts yesterday because I want to roast them, and maybe I'll do them in my air fryer.
You don't do them in your oven. Your oven will do you dirty.
Really?
Okay. Yes, the oven will do you dirty. I've been scarred by this.
So, you know, oh my gosh.
I've been buying a lot of is frozen scallops, and I've been sauteing those up and eating frozen scallops.
Really?
Because it's really fast, and I feel a little bougie, and I don't feel like, I really enjoy
it. We had scallops one or two times on my vacation, and they just overdid them. They weren't great. I had, oh my gosh, I'm going to post these, but we went to the coolest place. It had a hot rock that you put the steak on, and then they come with this cognac sauce on it, and then they put it on there and they light it up and the flames, and it was the coolest thing ever. So cool. And then we had
was it good?
Yeah. It wasn't the best steak I've ever had in my life, but it was the coolest steak I've ever had in my life, right? And then we had a side of prawns, and I'm telling you, these prawns were huge. It was two prawns for $16. What? But the sauce on them was too spicy. I couldn't even eat them. I was so sad. No. But anyway, so I, with Weight Watchers, I have been doing great. I'm actually,
when did you start it?
Wednesday. This is day three, but those are wins.
They are.
Both days I had points left over.
Oh, that's good.
Because you can have so many things that are 0 point foods now with the program. I'm on the blue program. I don't know. There's three different ones. There's green, blue, and purple. And I'm at blue. So you get an equal amount of points plus 0 point foods. Okay. And 0 point foods are pretty much all fruits, vegetables, and skinless chicken breast, right? Mm-hmm. Well, those things make me happy. I can eat those things all the time. And are you telling, you're telling me I can have a banana? Right? Okay. No, there's no diet in the world that I've ever been on that I could have a banana. And that is why I chose this, because I don't want to be on a diet. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to teach my kids portion control, moderation, what is healthy and what isn't healthy. Like, again, kind of what Noom says, if you take a banana or you take a piece of chocolate cake or a granola bar covered in chocolate, you know, which one is better for your body, which one's even something that has similar calorie thing, they're not all the same nutrients, right?
Yeah.
A banana may not be the best thing for weight loss, but it's a hell of a lot better than some fake crap that I could eat.
But you know, I really don't think it's that bad for weight loss either. I think because you've done so much low carb and keto-y things that you've just been told that if it's got any sugar in it, whether it's natural or not,
right,
that it's bad. One of the things Stephanie talks about in her book is and I've heard people say, oh my gosh, everybody's gluten intolerant now. And she addresses that in the book, like why there's so much gluten intolerance or different intolerances that never were before. And it's because we've modified our food so much.
Right.
You know, we're not eating the same grains that people were eating 100 years ago. We're eating genetically modified things. And she doesn't even really like poo-poo all of that. But she's saying that's why, like, people, like, they're foreign substances to your body and your body's like, doesn't know what to do with
it. Angry about it. Right.
Yeah. Same thing with fructose and different things like that. And I was like, well, that makes sense.
So, you know that I'm gluten sensitive, right?
Yeah.
So, which is a pain itself, but did you know that I can order Italian flour from Italy?
Yeah.
And I can use that flour and not get the migraines.
Yeah. We noticed when we were in Europe, or when we were in the UK, that their breads and things were just a lot different than ours. They're a lot fresher. They're not full of preservatives and things, and not as genetically modified as what we ended up reading about. But they were like, yeah, I mean, in the US, our breads don't mold for like a month.
Yeah.
And
that's not right.
There's a lot there. There's a lot to be said about that. And you know, I'm certainly a convenience person, and I have my things that I like. Do you know what the other interesting thing that she said in that book that I can't wait for my kids to come home to tell them about? So one of my kids is really gassy, like to the point that sometimes.
Let me guess.
Yeah. To the point that
she's proud of it. She's going to get to a stage pretty soon, probably, where she's not as proud of that, but
yeah. We're waiting. We're crossing our fingers, because sometimes we're like, you just have to go outside because Everyone is now offended. It's no longer funny.
Oh my gosh. I can just, okay. So I have a really overactive imagination. I'm like seeing in my head, all of you having dinner and Alex is just standing in the backyard, sad and gassy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably real accurate. And it's, you know, you can tell she can't help it, but when, so like we've gone through all the things, we've reduced lactose in our house. We drink like lactose free milk or almond milk or oat milk or whatever the hell, but Alex isn't a huge fan. She loves milk. And we're like, I mean, we've just got to the point where like, that's gotta be what it is. And it did definitely bring it down. But do you know what I really believe it is? So she talks about how if you don't chew your food well, that you can be incredibly gassy just from not.
Oh, really?
Yes. And she there's a whole reason behind it and she explains it and it's fascinating. But Alex, I'm constantly telling her, you don't have to put that much food in your mouth. Like,
or she's eating too fast.
Yes.
She's
not an overeater by any means, mm-hmm. but like the kid is like, when she takes a bite of food, like Tina, we had to ban spaghetti in my house because I cannot stand to watch this kid eat spaghetti. It grosses me out to the point where I'm like, no more spaghetti. We will only have rigatoni. Like, we can't have spaghetti noodles because she puts so much in her mouth that it falls out of her mouth. And then she's like slurping it. And then I'm gagging. I can't take it. It's disgusting. And I'm like, why do you have to put so much food in your mouth? And I've been telling her this forever. And now I get to, and so Raylan, on the other hand, who eats, you know, practically the same age as her. They're 2 years apart. They're the same size of person, more or less. They eat more or less the same food every day. And Raylan is like significantly not gassy in comparison, but she's a like slow eater. And she, because she chews.
Ah, so you're like,
I'm like, this is why. So I'm going to tell Alex this.
That is really good for me because I know that I eat too fast.
Yeah.
I need to slow down.
Yeah.
And I might be a little gassy. Now that I shared that with everyone. My husband listens to these podcasts and he'll be like, yeah, she is.
Well, anyway, here we are.
I could just hear him. Thanks for sharing that, sweetheart. Both of our husbands love how extroverted that we are and that we just share everything. I know they do.
When my husband came to the, so he texted me, last night and was like, hey, I just went for a run and he knew I was at this coffee shop working hair and makeup. And he was like, I'm going to come and grab something to eat. And I was like, well, it's kind of a thing where you had to have tickets. Let me make sure there's enough. Like, I'm sure I can get you in, but like, let me make sure there's a place for you to sit. It was pretty crowded. And so I did. And I was like, yeah, you can come on by. So he does. And I'm like behind the counter, but running food or something at the time. And he's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm working.
He didn't know that you were helping either. Oh, that's funny.
He's like, you're like waiting tables and serving. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, why? I'm like, I don't know.
What I was like, him?
You know what though? It was really nice. What I loved was I had to ask a lot of questions. I was not the expert. I didn't know. I was not the boss. I was not in charge. I was just able to just be busy and work and not be tied to the outcome or have to make any decisions. Or if somebody had a question, they didn't come to me.
It's so funny because when I was a LOA, which is a loan officer assistant, I loved it. And I worked so hard for her. I worked harder for her than I work for myself, for sure. I don't know why that is. Just, it's weird.
Yeah. Well, and I told Elizabeth, I was just like, I feel like I'm kind of going through some midlife thing and I get really overwhelmed.
And maybe I'm going to throw everything to the wind and be a server.
No, I'm not going to do that because I could not, I don't know. That's not for me, but I was like, it just feels really good to be busy and to not be tied to the outcome, not like just to be helpful and not have to,
make decisions or be the boss or answer questions or I don't know that yeah. So it was all right. It was good.
That's cool.
It was fun. But yeah. Anyway, I'm gonna ba-dum-ching, move on with my day. I'm having lunch with some friends today, which I haven't done in forever either. I'm trying to like, now that the conference is over and now that I'm over 3 weeks into this, I feel like I can do social things. Last night was the first music venue like thing I've ever been to where I've not drank. Like I am definitely a social drinker, and there was some amazing sangria with bourbon in it. I smelled it. I might have gotten a little drunk from smelling it. I don't know. But and it's not that like I'm a big drinker, but I'm definitely a social drinker. And I was like, well, you're going to have fun without drinking tonight now, aren't you, kid? And mm-hmm. I did have a great time. I was dancing.
Were you?
I was, yeah. It was fun.
Without drinking? That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd have been fancier drinking.
Would have been.
I might have grabbed the tambourine off of Elizabeth's keyboard.
You know that I've done that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have too.
In my 20s, like, totally tambourined it for this band. Oh, yeah. It was good.
Yeah, I'd have done some things.
They didn't ask me to do it. And they didn't ask me again.
Weird.
But I did it.
Yeah, that's weird.
And in my mind, I was a star that night.
You were a star.
That's funny.
So anyway, that was I mean that was fun, and I told her, I said, ask me again when you have an event. Like I would much rather, and it's also kind of fun to be social and to be working, like, because sometimes it's a lot of pressure to be social.
Yes,
you know, and to just like network and make
for all of you out there who are extroverts and think that I always am comfortable being social, nope, I'm not.
Yeah, sometimes there's a lot of pressure. And when you're funny, like you and I are both funny people, like there's sometimes like a lot of pressure to like
be funny,
keep the conversation
going. Entertain people.
Yes, yes. Like, and it's not pressure from other
people. What am I, a clown?
It's pressure you put on yourself. Yes, you are a fucking, are you kidding me? Yes, you're a clown.
Do I amuse you?
Yes. The only reason you're on this podcast.
I'm amusing you. Oh, that's funny. My eyes are leaking.
Oh, but it does. Yeah. So anyway, I'm trying to like incorporate like the fun things back in my life. So, you know, because
any time with friends.
Yeah. Cause when you start doing that, and you're trying to take care of yourself. Like it's really hard to go out and still make good choices if other people aren't, and stare at their cheesecake.
You know, what's funny though, like, and I was going to say this before, I'm actually really excited to lose weight. And I don't know if it's because we're doing this podcast, I'm excited to share things as I grow. Normally I would be like, oh my gosh, I don't want to tell anybody because I'm going to fail and blah, blah, blah. Right now in my life, I feel like, and I've been so much so that, oh, I've lost 50 pounds before. I've lost 80 pounds before. I've lost, you know, and so I haven't really wanted to do it. I'm just like, ugh, I've already done this a million times in my life. It's exhausting. I just don't want to have to do that again. I'm just going to be fat and shut up about it and just deal with it, right? But the truth is, I'm not comfortable in my skin. I don't like having to ram my big butt into a way too small. That was the other thing, the last flight from Denver to Cedar Rapids, there's no first class on that flight. And the seat was probably, I don't know, 10 inches wide. My butt is not 10 inches
wide. They're not big seats.
So it was like shoving 8 marshmallows in your mouth. That's how my butt looked in the seat. Like just not comfortable. I just don't want to live that way anymore. So it's not that I don't love myself. And people get this twisted a lot, and I'm learning how to love myself more. It's that I want to be more comfortable in my skin. Oh, that was the other thing, we have to talk about this. So I go to Boise. It is a different altitude, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm a bigger girl and I struggle with getting winded and whatever. Oh, it's not the same here as it is in Boise. Mm-hmm. I was like so winded putting my clothes on, putting my shoes on. I'm like, why can I not breathe here? And so that was a big eye opener because I was like, okay, I know it's a different altitude, but if I wasn't this heavy, it would not be affecting me like this. Like, it was bad. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see the changes that I'm going to make. I'm excited to share that. I'm excited about this program. It hasn't been hard, just simply because if I'm hungry and I'm out of points, I had a bowl of raspberries and blackberries and strawberries last night. You know what I mean? Like, rather than my Ben and Jerry's.
You know, it's always, once you're committed, it's always exciting to get started. But in the last, I would say 2 years, I've not been excited to do anything. It's always just kind of been dragging.
Oh, it's a drag. Yeah.
Yeah. The diet part. But I don't know. I feel like a good energy about it. I feel like I need positive energy really badly right now. I mean, the state of the world and the state of myself and the state of things. The slowness is killing me a little bit of, they're not lying about getting older and your metabolism slowing down. And, you know, for everybody older than me, man, my biggest pet peeve is when you say, yeah, you know, I'm feeling my age, I'm 42. And then somebody that's 48 is like, well, wait till you get to be my age. Well, listen, stop doing that to women. I hate that so much. I can't help that I was born 6 years before you or 10 years or 20 years or whatever, but I'm feeling my feelings right now. And you go ahead and feel yours.
And I do that all the time. I'm so guilty of that.
Stop it.
Okay.
But but it is really alarming to realize just how your body changes. So Eric and I, this is morning, he handed me my magnesium supplement that I'm now taking. And I was like, man, we are old. We're like getting up.
Here's your magnesium, sweetheart.
I'm like, we can get pill containers next.
I have one because I forget.
I'm not going to fill the damn thing
after. I take my multivitamin, my vitamin D, and then my anti-anxiety in the morning. And it will be 30 minutes after I normally wake up and take my pill. And I'll be like, did I take my pill today? So yes, I have a pill container.
I've had one before, but only because I thought it was fun. And then I just never fill it up like the third week. I'll fill it up the first 2 weeks, but I never do again. But maybe I'll have to do that and then just charge Eric with filling it up. I don't know.
Oh, it's funny.
It's funny. It's weird getting old. But well,
a month from now, when all of this excitement passes me by, you need to remind me. Nope, you're excited because you're gonna have big changes. It may be only 2 pounds a week, if that. But because that's the thing for me, like the excitement too. It's easier when you do a keto and the first week. The first week I did Ideal Protein back when I did that, 11 pounds first week.
Yeah, I always lose a lot the first week, no matter how I change it up. And then by week three, I've gained a few pounds, and then it comes back off slowly. And not until I swear to God, I'm giving up for life first.
Yeah.
The hangnail. Well,
not giving up.
No,
we're not doing it.
Trying not to.
Nope.
Between you and Aaron, here we are.
Well, now I'm on a program, so we're in this. We got it.
Well, I'll be interested to see how it works. And I mean, it's probably, you know, I mean, the accountability of it is really a big piece of it. But you know what you were saying a minute ago about, you know, I don't love myself. What, you know, one of the things that Noom did was they sent me a message and they were like, well, tell me what your life's like when you feel more confident and that you feel like you can take on the world. And I'm like, I don't not feel like that now though. Like that's not, I mean, I did feel like that 10 years ago. I beat myself up a lot. My confidence has always been okay and actually not bad. But what gets me is, like you said, not being able to do things that I want to do.
or like, you know, you put an outfit on and you're like, sure would look better if I'd get some of this weight off.
Yeah. Yep. I get that. One of the things that hit me years ago, and I can't believe that it didn't make a huge change for me, is not wanting to go to the water park with my kids. Or like, we went to this hotel that had the big water park thing, and
yeah,
and like, you don't want to go in there. And I'm like, you know, that's not fair to my children. So I will put on a suit. I will go do those things with my kids regardless. I would just suck it up and I will feel like crap.
But you hate it.
I don't want to feel like crap.
Yeah. Pardon? You hate it the entire time. And then you want to make sure, like, dear God, don't anybody take a picture. Don't let me be in the background of somebody's picture.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Somebody always will.
And I don't know if I've told you this, but my sister's getting married in September.
Yes.
And
your dress didn't fit.
Oh yeah. And it, like,
you told us all.
Dude, it does. So I put it on the other day thinking, okay, how bad is it really?
But it's September, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know how much I have to lose, but like, there's no way that dress is going on this body anytime soon. Like, my sister's gonna kill me if I don't get that dress.
You've got 4 months.
I have all of May, June, July, August. Yes, I have 4 whole ass months.
Yep.
So that has to happen, because, you know, we ordered the dresses all at the same time to make sure they were from the same dye lot, because she's like that level,
right,
of, yes, everything being just as is. And it's not like, it wasn't a cheap dress either. It was like a $250 dress. So it's not like it's a, like, well, suck it up and just buy a different one anyway. Like, what am I going to do with this dress?
So did it fit you at one time?
No,
When it came in, it didn't fit. Okay, see, that's a problem anyway.
It is a problem. Here's why it's a problem. Here's what I did. I just, like, read the measurements and I was like, yeah, that's probably it. And I ordered like a size up from what I thought I was, but, you know, like,
oh, those kind of dresses need to be a couple sizes up.
Probably ordered the size it is right now. I should have probably ordered at least 2 sizes up.
Yeah. Well, I talked to a girl the other day and they sent all their measurements in, and this dress came in like 4 sizes too big for her. So I don't even know if they're looking at measurements. Like, theirs were tailored specifically.
Told them I wanted this size and then they just ordered it. And then it came and I was like, oh fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here we are.
Do you think it's possible for 4 months?
Yeah, it's possible.
You do? Okay, it's possible. Well, I mean, anything's possible, but is it feasible?
Yeah, it's feasible. Okay. It's okay. Like, I wouldn't have to lose like 5 pounds a week or anything like that ever.
Okay.
But I just can't not stick with it.
Nope. And you are. You're doing it.
Lord help us, my friend.
You're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. If I put myself in this position, I'll get myself out.
One gallon of water at a time. That's one of the things that I know I need to do, is drink more water.
Yeah. I do 4 of these a day.
That's awesome.
This is number one today. If I can get 2 down before noon and 3 down before 1, then I'm set.
Are you peeing all night long though? Are you able to sleep?
Not anymore. But I did.
Oh, good. Your body's adjusted.
Yeah. Good. In fact, the other day, I drank one of these about an hour before I went to bed and I didn't get up all night.
Right.
I procrastinated it off, like this 32 ounce thing. I chugged it right like an hour before bed and then I was fine.
Right on. Yeah. I always find that I go to the bathroom all night long when I first start doing that.
I think I've said for the last 10 minutes, or I need to end this damn podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you. And we're going to.
Well, this is 2 weeks worth though. So
that was 2 weeks worth. Yeah. So I need to, but I still haven't put this on my schedule for this time, and you have to keep reminding me, and I am so out of my mind. So we will say goodbye to the podcast today. We'll be back next week when Tina says,
I'm down a couple pounds. I'm not going to make that because I don't know what my body's going to do. I can't. I haven't even weighed myself. I plan to call the doctor right now and say, what was I at my last visit? Because it wasn't that long ago. Oh. And so that's my starting point.
Okay.
And then we'll see where I'm at.
All right. Well, thanks for being here today.
Okay. We'll see you next week.
And that concludes episode 71. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Check us out over on Facebook. You can watch the recording live with video if you want over there, or send a message over on my Facebook page. If you've got some feedback for us, we would love to hear it. And we will be back here next week for Fat Friday in May.